Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and in this segment, we are going to be discussing the upcoming transit of Rahu and Ketu into the signs of Virgo and Pisces. So first and foremost, on this podcast, we use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, which uses the karmic nodes of Rahu and Ketu. If you want to calculate your Vedic birth chart, you can go to my website, innerknowing.yoga, where I have a free chart calculator, as well as playlists available for you to learn more about the houses, the planets, the signs, nakshatras, etc. You can also learn more about the differences between Western and Vedic astrology by going to media and then Astrology Now, and you will find a podcast embedded there. So I have been waiting to record this segment diving into this transit. So just a reminder for everyone, in the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, we have the karmic nodes of Rahu and Ketu. They only change signs once every 18 months. So whenever the nodes prepare to change signs, we as a collective can prepare for there to be a shift and transition in the culture, the climate, what we're focusing on as humans has an impact on the economy, on topics that are prevalent, rather it be humanitarian topics, topics about the economy, topics about foreign affairs or global affairs. Again, it really has an impact on the world at large. And there are always shifts that happen when the nodes change signs. So I know that I've mentioned this on podcasts before, but just an example, Rahu and Ketu were in the signs of Scorpio and Taurus when all of the secrets were coming out about Jeffrey Epstein and corruption with elite figures in the media. Rahu and Ketu were in the signs of Aries and Libra just recently, right? For the last 18 months, Rahu and Ketu have been in Aries and Libra, which is all about war and peace. Aries is the sign of war. Libra is about diplomacy and harmony. It has a big impact, of course, during that cycle as well. We saw a lot come up with reproduction rights. That was something that we had been predicting at the beginning of the 18-month cycle with Rahu entering Aries, particularly the nakshatra of Barney. I'm sharing all of this to drive the point home that where Rahu and Ketu are, they bring significant matters to the forefront and they absolutely shape what we are focusing on as a culture and what has an impact on us on a personal level, but also on the world at large. So again, Rahu and Ketu are karmic in nature. When they change signs, they have an impact on us personally. Wherever Rahu and Ketu are transiting for you, they are going to impact you. Of course, we will go over that on Patreon, patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast for each of the 12 signs. And I will be sure to do a podcast that is public as well for each of the 12 signs. But on Patreon, I usually spend a little bit more time and go a little bit more in depth. But I will do a public podcast for everyone also sometime this month, maybe into December, but probably in November. And of course, Rahu and Ketu are going to have an influence on the collective. And so when there is any major transit, I do research and I go back several years and look at what was happening so that I can gain insight into what this transit may do, how it may impact us, what it may bring up. And so I've had a ton of fun doing research on this. And I am going to approach this podcast a little bit more casually. I have a tendency to wander anyway. I was going to say I attempt to keep things relatively organized. I hope at least that you all feel that way. This podcast, what I did was I did a bunch of research. I gathered a bunch of data. I tried to organize it and boil it down into more important pieces. If I were to share every single thing I found, I think that it would be boring for the vast majority of you. Again, I'm going to try to keep this podcast relatively brief and just share some of the main things I found. But I am, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm hanging out in a hoodie, my hair is in a bun. I'm just ready to casually share the pieces that I've found and the hypothesis I'm making for the next 18 months for what I personally think will come up. And of course, as we move into this time period, and as I continue to do more research as well, I'll have more and more to share throughout the podcast. But again, I've spent hours researching so far, and so I do actually have quite a bit to share with you all today. So I do hope that you found it. I do hope that you find it helpful. So again, Rahu and Ketu are going to change signs according to the True Node system on November 28th, 2023. So remember, according to the Vedic system, we have two main ways of calculating the nodes. We have the True Node system and the Mean Node system. And so according to the Mean Node system, Rahu and Ketu have actually already changed signs. According to the True Node system, they are going to change on November 28th, which is what we're going to be focusing on today. And they will be in the signs of Pisces and Virgo until the end of May 2025. So it looks like it's going to be May 29th of 2025 is when Rahu and Ketu will move into Leo and Aquarius, according to the True Node system once again. And so Rahu is the node that brings insatiable desire. It brings an insatiable quality. Something important to remember about Rahu is that it lusts for anything of the material realm. Power, money, sexuality, fame, fortune. Rahu creates drive and desire. It puts an emphasis on things. But Rahu is also innovative, pioneering, futuristic. It's rebellious. It's independent. What I love about Rahu is that it tends to expand things and grow things, and it supports us in thinking outside of the box and doing things that have never been done before. Again, Rahu is very futuristic, and we will see individuals who are quite famous for thinking outside of the box, for doing things differently, for just having something about them that is alluring, shiny, maybe even intoxicating. You'll see that they'll have a very powerful Rahu in their birth chart. Rahu is going to be in the sign of Pisces. Pisces is about spirituality. It's about moksha, liberation, consciousness. But you know, Pisces is also the final sign of the zodiac, meaning there is an emphasis on conclusion, endings. If you know much about Vedic astrology, we know that the three nakshatras in Pisces are Uttara Bhadrapada, Purva Bhadrapada, Uttara Bhadrapada, and Revati. Purva Bhadrapada and Uttara Bhadrapada are associated to endings and conclusions. They are the funeral cot. They are associated to burning what is no longer essential. They can be incredibly intense. Okay. Historically, when Rahu has been in Pisces, we have seen conclusions, endings, and deaths, which we'll get into today. We've also seen incredible innovations with technology, space, and exploration. You know, Pisces is the liminal space between the material and the ethereal. It wants to go beyond. It wants to explore. It wants to experience the world in a new way. You know, Pisces is always trying to alter consciousness and alter experience. What we will find today is that there were so many innovations with technology as well as travel and space while Rahu is in Pisces. And also, you know, this big focus on humanity and finding compassion. The nakshatra of Revati, I should say specifically, Revati is actually about travel. Revati is governed by the deity Pushan, who is the deity who ushers travelers, who helps guide travelers home. So there's literally an association to Revati with travel. And Revati is also about patronage, which is about being friendly, about being compassionate. So we will find that this placement does put an emphasis on doing what's right and finding humanity and also fighting for what we believe is right and fair. Pisces is notoriously a very friendly nakshatra, particularly Revati. So Ketu is the planet that unbounds things. I always think of Ketu as that which takes away the boundaries. So it also can have this tendency to expand things in a sense. Ketu is also the great separator as well as the great liberator. And so it can have this tendency to bring an emphasis to liberation and spirituality and, again, thinking beyond. But it is also a planet that has to do with separation, and it has to do with endings, and it has to do with conclusions as well. And so there is this interesting connection between K2 and Pisces. And so K2 is actually the secondary ruler of Pisces. We know that in Vedic astrology, Pisces is ruled by Jupiter, but Pisces is also ruled by K2. So, you know, you're hearing me say that Pisces is about endings and conclusions and spirituality. K2 is about endings, conclusions, and spirituality as well, which we'll come to find that K2 feels a lot more comfortable in the sign of Pisces than it does in Virgo. So Rahu naturally governs over Virgo, K2 naturally governs over Pisces, so they're actually going to be flip-flopped this year, which can bring a little bit of disharmony. Again, we'll get into that. But anyway, so K2 has this ability of kind of separating and creating distance. And K2 is also a very natural node. You know, the node of K2 has this honesty about it, this truthfulness about it, and almost like an earthiness to it. Rahu is like glitz and glam. It is kind of the smoke in the mirror effect. It can be quite illusionary and kind of distorts reality. It can have that quality. Whereas K2 wants us to see what is real. It wants us to see what is real, naked, and bare. There's kind of this natural element to it. Virgo is an earth sign, and Virgo, of course, is a sign that has to do with natural remedies, has to do with health and healing. It is the sixth sign of the zodiac, which is all about health and wellness, overcoming illness. Of course, it has an association to illness as well. It could be illness or overcoming illness. Also has to do with obstacles as well as overcoming those obstacles. And I should say, just looking at this axis, right, when we're looking at the sixth sign and the 12th sign, this is a very potent combination. If we're looking at a Vedic astrology birth chart and we're thinking about the sixth sign and the 12th sign, sixth house and 12th house, both of these houses are Dastana houses. Both of them have to do with some challenges and upheavals and struggles and difficulties. Historically, as I was looking back when Rahu and K2 were in these signs, there were a lot of really amazing things that take place that we're going to talk about, but there were also struggles and difficulties and, as I mentioned, endings and conclusions that we'll get into. So that is a little bit of an overview, a little bit of a reminder of what Rahu and K2 represent, of what the signs of Virgo and Pisces represent. So let's go ahead and talk about some of the main points. So some of the main points that I put together here, and then we'll dive into the specifics, is I have many pioneering events with air travel and space. With this combination, there were countless discoveries on other planets. There were countless innovations with aerospace engineering, with pioneering in a new way, particularly in regards to air travel or space travel. So huge emphasis on air travel, huge emphasis on space, space exploration, and space discovery. There were a lot of riots and protests against war. I saw many riots and protests against war specifically, but I also saw a lot of rebellions in general. And again, I mean, it's kind of that sixth, 12th axis. Remember that the sixth and 12th axis have to do with enemies. They both, right? The 12th house is hidden enemies, which is interesting because there were a lot of interesting things around like spying and information coming out. And also there were assassinations and figuring out who the people were during this period. So we have those hidden qualities of the 12th. And then the sixth house is also enemies and obstacles in general. Okay. So there were a lot of those calls for peace, a lot of focus on protesting war, protesting conflict in general. Again, rather it be based on war or also just fighting for equality and standing up for equality. There were a lot of issues related to health and wellness. The notes that I took is that it seems that there were incredible innovations with technology, not as much with natural remedies, though I think it will be different with this transit because Neptune is in Pisces. So as I was doing research, I found so many interesting innovations with technology and wellness. So fascinating. I can think of Rahu with Pisces. It's like robots. That's what I think about with Rahu and Pisces. One of my close friends, she has Rahu and Pisces, and she actually works with robots in a hospital setting. So interesting. So we'll get into that. I do think, though, I want to reiterate, Neptune is currently in the sign of Pisces, and I do think that Neptune and Pisces will continue to emphasize exploration with psilocybin, exploration with psychedelics, and that supporting wellness. I think that we will continue to see a trend with that personally. I could be wrong. Another main area that I'd like to talk about is sexuality, nudity, and relationship. Somehow found a lot with that. This is a PG-rated podcast. Government, issues with leaders, we can talk about. New capitals, I thought was interesting. Rebellions, it kind of goes along with what we were just discussing, and peace. And then we will talk about different advancements for women, as well as creative breakthroughs. It was actually a great time. It seems that every single time that Rahu is in Pisces and K2 is in Virgo, there are some pretty interesting things happening with the arts, like really big years for the arts. And so we'll get into that. So this could be a good year for art and creativity and expression. And something else that I thought was interesting was just this focus on things coming to the surface and being revealed. It's like very Rahu in Pisces, you know, that 12th sign, 12th house. It's like hidden secrets and learning secrets. Julian Assange started WikiLeaks while Rahu was in Pisces and K2 was in Virgo. The head of government, a federal district in Mexico, faced impeachment. Mark Felter, the former FBI official agent, was revealed as Deep Throat during the Watergate investigation, which is like so interesting. It's just something from the past, right? Things from the 12th house are also things from the past. First part of the Gomery report, I think I pronounced that correctly, which discusses allegations of political money manipulation, is released in Canada. And so there are a few things like this. I have countless of them in my notes. And so if other ones come up, I will be sure to let you know. But it's like learning who people are, or having an outlet for more communication, or like corruption being revealed, things from the past, secrets, hidden things. Also, I mentioned there were assassinations that we're going to get into. Two of the specific ones are in 1968 with MLK being assassinated, as well as Robert Kennedy being assassinated. And then who assassinated them were discovered, and then they were tried, allegedly, right? I know there's a lot of different information floating around, but allegedly the people who assassinated them were convicted and held accountable. And there actually were a lot of confessions in general around that period. But the point that I'm trying to drive home is that Pisces, the 12th house, is literally related to things from the past, things that are hidden secrets, and also hidden enemies, which are literally assassinations, right? And there were a lot of them during this period of time, particularly when Rahu and Saturn were conjoined in 1968, when the assassinations of MLK and Robert Kennedy occurred. Saturn and Rahu were conjoined. We will experience a similar combination, but it will be very brief. It'll only be for a few months in 2025. But I do see that as being a particularly potent moment in time. And I do think that Rahu in Pisces will create some of this weird secretive stuff. The Zodiac Killer was prevalent during this period. So again, I don't mean to, maybe this isn't PG, maybe this is like PG-13. But, you know, I want people to be watching out for things like this. I want people to be understanding that there could be mysteries, there could be secrets, but similarly, there could be mysteries coming to the surface. Pisces is such a mystical, deep sign. It goes deep. There's a lot of mysterious, deep, interesting things. Uttara Vajrapada, Purva Vajrapada are both very, very intense, okay? And we also have to take into consideration that the Vietnam War was quite prevalent during this period. Civil rights was a big, of course, a huge topic during this period of time. So naturally, there were a lot of protests and there were a lot of calls for peace, a lot of calls for equality. There were also a lot of reparations being demanded during these periods and also reparations being met during these periods. So we may talk a little bit more about that as I kind of scroll through the notes here. So that was really what was most interesting to me. I thought that the hidden things, revealing things, I can't find it in my notes. I was like looking through it before hopping on, but like there was another guy who from his apartment drew over 400 images of his neighbor and they found out about it. So he was kind of like a spy, like Peeping Tom type. It's like, ugh, it's like so Rahu in Pisces, right? So I wanted to throw that out there as well because I thought that it was interesting. But you know, Rahu in Pisces is also highly creative. So there's that artistic edge. And as we'll get into it at the end, there were so many creative breakthroughs. Like literally every single one of those time periods, there were monumental like arts published during those periods as well. But Pisces is the sign of dancers and dreamers. That's what it's about. So in addition to all of that, there were many pioneering events with air travel and space. There are too many to even read here. You guys would be bored out of your minds. I just have like note after note after note. Remember that Pisces is exploring beyond, right? So there are so many, there's so much emphasis on space and space exploration. There seems to also be a lot of karma for the planet Pluto. In one of the cycles, Pluto's moons were named. I believe, let's see, Nix and Hydra. So on June 21st, Pluto's newly discovered moons are officially named Nix and Hydra. This is also a cycle when Pluto was denounced as a planet. So they changed the definition of a planet, which denounced Pluto. So it seems like Rahu and Ketu in Virgo and Pisces, there's some karma here for the planet Pluto. We will see what happens in the next 18 months because Pluto seems to get brought up every time. In 2005, Steve Fawcett becomes the first person to fly an airplane around the world solo without stopping. A super jumbo jet makes its first flight to France. Astronomers announce their discovery of dwarf planet Eris. Aerospace makes the first manned rocket aircraft delivering mail. Let's see. Ooh, the Russian Tu-144 flies for the first time faster than sound. The first sight of a birth of a galaxy is witnessed by astronomers at the University of California. Supernova 1987A is first seen. This marks the first naked eye supernova since 1604. It's a total of 383 years. Two men become the first hot air balloon travelers to travel across the Atlantic. There are so many notes here. For the first time, mail is delivered on a rocket. First air-conditioned train. First rocket-powered aircraft design. Robert H. Goddard patents the first rocket-powered aircraft design. Just absolutely outstanding. So we see so many innovations with air travel. And again, we have a lot of space exploration as well. Big emphasis on air and air travel, I will say. I know that water was discovered on a planet during this period too. There was one other thing that I wanted to note. Oh, in addition to there being so much innovation with aircraft and travel, I did unfortunately also see a lot with planes and plane crashes. I saw a lot of plane crashes during this period, so it's definitely a time to be mindful. And when I say this period, I just mean the cycle of Rahu in Pisces and Ketu in Virgo. All of those notes that I just shared with you are over the spans of time I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. So we talked about the riots and protests against war. As I mentioned, there were a lot of strikes and protests for civil rights and civil rights movements, and that also is included on college campuses. I know that there were a lot of student movements demanding rights and equalities for Black students as well as Black faculty. This is a more recent, in 2005, Cedar Revolution, a million Lebanese march in the streets of Beirut to demonstrate against Syrian military presence in Lebanon. It's pretty big deal. Let's see. France resoundingly rejects the European Constitution. That's huge. Protests demanding a re-election in Belarus around this period of time. In Ithaca, New York, some 80 armed militant Black students from Cornell University take over Willard Strait Hall, demanding a Black Studies program and to make a deal for total amnesty with the administrators. That is a big deal as well. I mean, of course, as we were talking about civil rights, it's a time of civil rights. It's also a time, like, across the board with all of the periods that I looked at, there was a huge emphasis on civil rights and equality with race and also with gender. Something else that I was noticing is actually this seems to be a great time for women pioneering. There were many women elected to positions of power that were like firsts, so to speak, such as Michelle Bachelet is inaugurated as the first female president of Chile, as well as Maxine Dunlap is the first woman to gain a glider pilot license. It looks like Ellen Johnson Sirleaf is elected president of Liberia, the first woman to lead an African country. Angela Merkel becomes the first female chancellor of Germany, and Uma Thurman was knighted in France for outstanding achievement in the field of art and literature. So through time, again, there just seems to be a lot of focus on women and women being elected to positions of power. I do also want to say that there seemed to be a trend where Black and brown individuals were also being recognized in a new way, particularly in regards to the arts. So Wol Soyinka, I'm so sorry, I'm struggling to pronounce some of these names. A Nigerian playwright and poet becomes the first African to receive the Nobel Prize in Literature. And I did just see this as a theme. Aretha Franklin becomes the first female artist to be introduced to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well. So a lot of these amazing achievements and recognition being made in regards to arts and literature, particularly in regards to women, as well as the Black and brown community. So I thought that that was really, really nice. So while we are on the topic of art, I was planning on saving that for last, but throughout time with arts and creativity, while we were having this transit with Rahu and K2, Pan's Labyrinth came out, Walk the Line came out, Colbert Report started, Devil Wears Prada, Borat, 30 Rock, Stand By Me, and City Lights by Charlie Chaplin. So all throughout time, we're having these like pretty big creative breakthroughs. I mean, the Colbert Report, I think, is just, I mean, it's still so popular. Devil Wears Prada, I don't know about y'all, that was a big deal in my childhood. I felt like that was a really, it was a really popular movie, and I don't think anything had ever been created that was similar to it. I just thought it was really interesting. I would watch it today, and I'm not even a fan of movies in general. 30 Rock, again, I thought that was a very popular TV series. Pan's Labyrinth and Walk the Line, I think, are just like, you can't argue that they're classics. And of course, Borat is probably more controversial, but I don't think anything like it had been made, and it definitely spurred some interesting conversations. So all of that I did find fascinating. Just a few like random things before we get back to serious stuff. The song The Star Spangled Banner was officially declared as the United States national anthem. Gambling became legalized in the state of Nevada, which is fascinating because the 12th and 6th house both have to do with like addictions, and to each their own. I do know that gambling can become quite addictive. In New York City, the Empire State Building opens up after the construction is complete. Last one, the U.S. Supreme Court rules that schools teaching evolution do not need to teach creation. So fascinating to me. Again, Pisces is so nebulous, and it's such a spiritual sign. And I just think it's interesting that this focus on spirituality and how to teach evolution and how we came to be became a hot topic in schools, and that it even went to the U.S. Supreme Court during this period of time. I thought that was pretty fascinating. Okay, so getting back on track with our main notes, we talked a bit about rebellions and people pushing back and demanding rights, and there being an emphasis on civil rights and the civil rights movement. We spoke about space and exploration. We spoke about women getting recognition and being elected to positions of power for the first time, as well as having recognition for Black and brown communities, particularly in regards to arts and expression. So the other thing that I was seeing is that there was a lot of emphasis on natural disasters, particularly in regards to like earth as well as water. There were so many earthquakes during this period of time. We had in 2005, there was a 6.6 earthquake that hit Japan. There was a 6.9 earthquake off of the Greek islands. It says, let's see, 6.9 earthquake just off of Greek island hits much of the country and is felt throughout the entire eastern Mediterranean Sea. Oh, here's what I was talking about earlier. Liquid water is discovered on the sixth largest moon of Saturn. So it wasn't a planet, my bad. It was a moon of Saturn. A large earthquake, 7.4 on the Richter scale, occurs near New Zealand. May 2006, earthquake kills over 5,700 people. Unbelievable. October 10th, 7.5 earthquake strikes San Salvador. And so anyway, lots of big earthquakes during this period. And then there were a ton of tropical storms, which we could only anticipate with Rahu being in Pisces. Pisces is the most watery of the earth, the most watery of the water signs. With Rahu being in Pisces, of course, we're going to expect having natural disasters involving water. So this is when Hurricane Katrina hit. Hurricane Katrina happened while Rahu was in Pisces, Ketu was in Virgo. Tropical storm Alpha forms in the Atlantic basin, making the 2005 Atlantic hurricane season the most active Atlantic hurricane season on record with 22 named storms. Tropical storm Zeta forms in the open Atlantic Ocean, tying the record for the latest tropical cyclone ever to form in the North Atlantic basin. Cyclone Larry makes landfall in Australia, destroying most of the banana crops. So again, I can't stress this enough that we can definitely anticipate having natural disasters with water. Some other interesting notes, because again, this is like earth and water. The longest oil and natural gas explosion in Houston took place during this cycle. The nature documentary Planet Earth premiered on BBC. I know that was like a huge, I watched it. I think that I usually say that because like I don't watch TV and I don't watch movies. So if I watch something, I'm like, okay, maybe this is more popular, but I probably shouldn't have that perspective. So maybe it's not as popular as I thought it was. I think that Planet Earth is quite notorious, but I could be wrong about that. President Reagan's veto of the Clean Water Act is overridden by Congress. In the Fushan coal mine in Manchuria, a gas explosion results in the death of 3,000 people. So we do need to be watching out for things with like natural gas. We do need to be watching out for things involving oil. Okay, so I do think that oil and natural gas will actually become quite a theme. The reason I believe that is because Neptune has to do with oil, gas, water. Rahu is entering the same sign. And so I think that there's going to be a huge emphasis on oil, natural gas, water as resources and how we as humans use them. There may even be new laws or rules being promoted in regards to these factors. Issues with health and wellness was something I was really looking forward to diving into. As I mentioned earlier, I was not at all surprised to find that there were so many innovations with health and wellness. This is what makes sense. When we're looking at the natural flow of astrology, the sixth and 12th house has everything to do with health and wellness. The sixth house is like gut health, how things are functioning in the system. The 12th house has a lot to do with almost like the subconscious mind, subconscious health, and also addictions, things with our mental landscape, our mental health. And the 12th house is about asylums and hospitals. So the 6th and 12th have so much to do with health and wellness in general. I was not at all surprised to see that these things were themes, and I was not at all surprised to see that there were technological innovations. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I did not find a lot that suggested the growth of natural remedies, holistic healing, but I do think that we will continue to see a focus on natural healing and wellness because Neptune is still in the sign of Pisces. I did the yearly predictions for 2023 and I spoke about this extensively. I think that Neptune and Pisces will bring a focus to finding wellness through things like psychedelics and mushrooms and plants and things like that. But when I went back and I looked at the research, I found that there was this focus on technological innovations. I did also find that in 2005, the US actually voted to ban medical marijuana, which I thought was interesting. So just kind of have that in the back of your mind. So on November 27th, the first partial facial human face transplant is completed for Isabelle Denoir in France. And this is so fascinating to me. I posted about this on Instagram in November, just a few days ago. It's November 13th as I record this. Just a few days ago, I saw that there was a first human face transplant with an eye transplant, like around the exact same time, like right around the time that we're having this transit. I thought it was just so incredibly fascinating. In Baltimore, the first heart-lung transplant took place. Dr. Denton Cooley implants the first temporary artificial heart in Houston, Texas. Let's see. In Cambridge, Massachusetts, John Haven Emerson finishes his quote-unquote iron lung, negative pressure ventilator, which is just in time for the polio epidemic that is continuing to grow. Can y'all believe that? First partial facial... I'm struggling. First partial human face transplant, first heart lung transplant, first temporary artificial heart, and an iron lung ventilator. Are you kidding me? No way. Amazing. The last mobile army surgical hospital is decommissioned by the United States Army. I thought that that was sad and unfortunate. The medication Alka-Seltzer is first introduced as well during this period, and I actually saw some other innovations with medicine coming out as well. But to me, that was one of the most exciting pieces. Looking at nudity, interesting. I think that like the 12th house does have to do with like sex and sexuality. So let's just go ahead. The first condom advertisement was shown on British TV, which I thought was interesting. In Newark, New Jersey, a nude photo of John and Yoko on the cover of their album Two Virgins violates the pornography laws in New Jersey. Police confiscate 30,000 copies of the album. Lead singer of The Doors, Jim Morrison, was tried and convicted on two charges of exposing himself at Dinner Key Auditorium in Miami before 10,000 people. That was the focus on nudity. Now, this is a little bit less funny and light. This is more serious. Oregon Supreme Court nullifies marriage licenses issued to gay couples a year earlier. Spain legalizes same-sex marriages. Canada becomes the fourth country in the world to legalize same-sex marriages. South Dakota Governor Mike Round signs a bill into legislature that would ban most abortions in the state. Canada officially legalizes the use of contraception and the practice of abortion. So we see things across the board here, but we still, these were a few of the notes that I found. There were even more, but there is an emphasis on regulating marriage and relationships, contraceptive, healthcare, things of that nature. So definitely something, I mean, we've been seeing it be a theme in the media and in the collective landscape. I do believe this will continue to be a theme. So looking at government matters during this period of time, as I was mentioning, it does seem to be a relatively difficult time for the government and leaders. Of course, 1968 is a year that I'm wanting to focus specifically on here at the end. But just a few notes that I took. In 2005, the head of government, a federal district in Mexico, faces impeachment. I mentioned this earlier, Mark Felt, former FBI official, revealed as Deep Throat during the Watergate investigation in Vanity Fair article. Saddam Hussein goes on trial in Baghdad for crimes against humanity. The first part of the government report, which discusses allegations of political money manipulation, is released in Canada. The Federal Reserve discontinues publishing M3 money supply. And so this I thought was interesting. Remember that the 6-12 axis has to do with debt, unexpected expenses. It has to do with money, right? The sixth house is an Artha house. The sixth sign is an Artha sign. And so I do see there being this focus on wealth and finances here. British House of Parliament temporarily shut down due to anthrax alert. The U.S. Senate issues a formal resolution apologizing for failure to create anti-lynching legislation. And so I mentioned this earlier, there is an emphasis on reparations, the request for reparations, trying to right things from the past, and also people being held accountable for things that they've done in the past. NATO, or the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is established. Obviously, that is huge. The People's Republic of China is officially proclaimed. The Democratic Republic of Germany is officially established. The French government under Stieg falls. A government in France is formed by Pierre Laval. Beginning the financial collapse of Central Europe, the largest bank in Austria, Credit Anstalt, goes bankrupt. The collapse leads to a worldwide financial meltdown. In Belgium, the government of Jasper falls. Something that is kind of an outlier here, in August of 1949, the Soviets detonate their first atomic bomb, which I thought was important. Another theme that I saw was new capitals, an example being in India, New Delhi becomes the capital and inauguration celebrations take place. So New Delhi replaced Calcutta. And so there were a few capitals that were switched around. And then also languages were acknowledged in a new way. So for example, if the official language was English, perhaps French was also acknowledged as an official language. I saw that in a few places as well. Looking at peace treaties, a peace treaty is signed between Transjordan and Iraq. In April of 2005, Syria completes withdrawal from Lebanon, ending 29 years of occupation. The United Nations General Assembly votes overwhelmingly to establish the UN Human Rights Council. That's amazing. Justice Rutherford of the Ontario Superior Court of Justice strikes down the motive clause, an important part of the Canadian Anti-Terrorism Act. I'm not sure if this is in the right place, but this was in the research. A peace treaty is signed by Hungary, Austria. A peace treaty is signed between Iraq and Egypt. A friendship and trade treaty is signed by Poland and the USSR. The Geneva Convention relative to the treatment of war prisoners comes into force. A neutrality treaty is signed between Afghanistan and the USSR. I also wanted to say that there was a trade agreement between the United States and Canada. So that is amazing for peace and coming together. Getting into some not so savory things, talking about assassinations, right? And so there were quite a few big assassinations as well as people being held accountable. For example, the assassination of Gandhi, that was confronted during this period of time, and those who assassinated him were held accountable. There were three Indian independence fighters who were hanged following their conduction of an assassination and a bombing. And two assassinations that happened in the same year in Los Angeles, Saran Saran testifies in a court that he killed Robert Kennedy. March 10th, just a few days later of the same year, James Earl Ray pleads guilty to the murder of Martin Luther King in Memphis, Tennessee, and is sentenced to 99 years in jail. So, you know, that's obviously a lot. And kind of moving forward with those two at the end, talking about 1968, which I was really wanting to focus on. First of all, 1968 was a huge year. So much happened while Rahu was in the sign of Pisces. I do want to say that it is different because not only was Rahu in the sign of Pisces, Rahu and Saturn were in the sign of Pisces. So we aren't going to be experiencing that exact transit until 2025. And when we enter 2025, it will only be a few months. So what I'm about to share is definitely more extreme than, well, I don't want to say it's more extreme because there are other transits happening that are quite potent that we'll kind of wrap up the podcast with, but it's not the exact same transit, but it will be the exact same transit as we move into 2025. And I think it's important to look at this year. So in 1968, Prague Spring, the Soviet Union invades Czechoslovakia and arrests the president. The assassination of Martin Luther King takes place. The U.S. Senator Robert F. Kennedy, also known as Bobby Kennedy, was assassinated. Let's see. There are anti-Vietnam War demonstrations throughout the world, some turning violent in London. The Intel Corporation is created by Gordon Moore and Robert Noyce. NASA's Apollo 8 space mission was launched in December. 800,000 teachers, workers, and students protest, marching through the French capital. North Vietnam troops launch the Tet Offensive. Dutch elm disease continues to increase with tens of thousands of trees now destroyed. The Redwood National Park is created in California to protect the giant redwoods. So those two last points are quite important. You know, with K2 being in Virgo, it's an earth sign. I do see there being potential for the protection of earth and strides to protect earth and earth's resources. I also think that there could be new diseases that are affecting plants and flora, fauna, crops, things like that. I think that it's something that we need to keep an eye on as a collective. And so just kind of wrapping up with this, what I really want to emphasize is that the 6-12 axis is a challenging axis. There are benefits to it. I think that some of the benefits that we're going to see is really cool health innovations. I think there's going to be a lot with space and space exploration, new technology when it comes to travel. I do think that there will be a big focus on consciousness and spirituality, meditation with Rahu being in Pisces, of course. There may even be new strides to protect water, maybe rules and regulations to protect oil and natural gas in some way, to protect the environment, to protect Earth and Earth's inhabitants. Some of the things I think we need to watch out for is the economy with wealth and finances. I do think that there will be a focus on changes in the economy, which I'm actually going to talk more about in a moment. And I think that there will be this like focus on opposition and challenges and confrontation, maybe hidden enemies or us learning information. You know, Pisces has so much to do with secrets and things hidden beneath the surface. And so it could be that interesting information is being revealed or people are revealing themselves as certain types. I just think it's an interesting time where we will learn a lot about maybe leaders or people in positions of power. And I also think that there will be a lot of calls for peace. And I think that there will be a lot of individual people calling for humanitarian action and humanitarian intervention. I do think that there will be a lot of protests against war and conflict. I think that leaders will be under pressure. And I think that we need to be mindful of danger, you know, violence and, God forbid, you know, assassinations or anything like that. It's just something to kind of keep in the back of our heads because of this 6-12 axis, right? It's enemies and also hidden enemies. So it's something we want to be very, very mindful of. This is going to be a big transit, particularly here in the United States, for a few different reasons. First of all, the United States is in Sati Sati. It's a 7.5-year period of pressure and discipline and responsibility and immense change. We are also moving through Pluto return, which is uncharted territory. We've never experienced this as a nation before. And a return matures the quality of the planet, right? And when we look back at when the Constitution, whenever we had independence, right, when the U.S. was claiming independence, of course, I understand the U.S. has a long and complicated history. And in 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was being signed, there was the Constitution, right? There was the fundamental ethos of what the U.S. was meant to represent in terms of freedom and justice for all. And this could be a time where the Constitution is being reviewed. Perhaps we are reevaluating what justice and freedom means. And I think that it will call that into question and everyone will have their own opinion about that. I think that the Constitution, again, I think that it will be a time where it is being reflected upon, for lack of better words, and to be as simple as possible. And as I've been talking about, you know, Pluto brings about a death and a rebirth. And we've been having the Pluto return for the United States since 2020. It's in the sign of Capricorn, which is about government structures, economy, finances. We're seeing the rollout of digitizing wealth and the call to digitize wealth. We're seeing this emphasis on Bitcoin, things of that nature. I think it will continue to become more prominent. And we've also, you know, people aren't necessarily happy with what is happening in terms of leadership and the government. I think that there will be calls for change and transformation. And I think it will be a really interesting time to witness here in the United States. I think that governments will continue to change around the world as well, because Pluto and Capricorn will continue to impact everybody. Now, for the United States, in addition to the Pluto return and the Sati Sati, which are also, you know, already very big transits, Rahu and Ketu will be transiting the 4th and the 10th house. The 10th house has to do with the government and the external perception, as well as public dealings and power influence. And the 4th house has to do with the home, the homeland, individuals, citizens. This is going to be a big time. And Ketu is transiting Saturn for the United States as well. And so I definitely think there is going to be unrest in the United States. I think that people will really be calling for a change. And I think that people are going to be really standing up for what they believe to be right. Saturn is still in the sign of Aquarius, which is all about power to the people, humanitarian efforts, focusing forward into the future. So I actually see this being as a potential empowering time. I just do want to say that, you know, there may be some sort of perhaps a movement where there are more rules and regulations in place from the government that maybe people aren't very excited about. When we look back at the energy of 7076, there will likely be some of those hints and notes coming through in a more modern way. There may be this kind of revolutionary energy, you know, because that is what the Pluto return could represent. And again, I just want to reiterate that Pluto is control and power and big forces of control. And Capricorn is the government and government structures and economy and wealth. So we'll continue seeing, you know, digitizing of wealth, cryptocurrencies, futuristic stuff, changing of government, emphasis on structures and how things are done. And I do think there will likely be pushback from people. You know, there may be some issues here. There may be some challenges and maybe even some clashes. I could totally be wrong, but, you know, this is what I am anticipating to some extent. Is it going to be a revolution like it was in 1776? I honestly don't know. I don't think so. I think it would be more of like a modern type of revolutionary stance. But I do think that there's going to be an energy of people coming together, and I do think that people are already dissatisfied with what's going on in the government and what's going on with different powers that be. So it'll be an interesting thing to witness. Again, we've like never had this happen before. This is new for everybody. And so I think it will be a very, it'll be interesting to say the least, I think, with this transit that we have coming up. And I do think that it's an opportunity for us to reflect on what freedom and justice means for everyone, not just a select few. And I do think that it will call into question different rules and regulations and law, maybe even the Constitution. So this is what I am thinking. I could totally be wrong. I think it will be fascinating to watch as we move forward into 2024. So forgive me if I am speaking quickly. I've tried to record this a few different times, and it to be completely frank, it's been a nightmare. Like, this has been a total nightmare. So I hope that this podcast has served someone somewhere. It's entertained you. It's taught you something. It's been like 4 hours of this for me. So I am ready to go and take a long evening walk with my dog. I'm wishing you all wellness. If you want to learn more about me, you can go to innerknowing.yoga. My Instagram is astrologynow_podcast. You can hear weekly horoscopes at patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. Again, my name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much. Thank you.